Hello and welcome back to the Heal With Us podcast. I'm Ebony, one of your hosts.
And my name is Ofumayibo, I'm your other host. And today we have two amazing men joining us for our March Madness conversation, Bolahan and Collins. If you would like to introduce yourself.
Sure, I'll go first. Name is Bolahan Hosseini. I'm a chemistry / business professional, racial equity advocate, DEI partner, and a distinguished leader. And I'm a Christian by faith. I'm also married.
Well, that was an impressive introduction.
Appreciate that. I thank LinkedIn.
Well, guys, my name is Collins Odia. I'm a project manager. I am happily married as well, and I am a Christian by faith as well, and I'm happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here to have this conversation with us. So we'll dive right into March Madness. What's March Madness? What's it about? I know we're in March, and the year has been crazy, so I guess we'll put it together. What's March Madness?
So March Madness is, I think they call it that because there's just so many games happening at the same time. All these schools play all year long, and some of them don't qualify. So if you make it, it's a big deal because then your chance has, or your team has the chance to upset or win the whole title. A lot of players who normally don't get television coverage get to showcase their talents, and hopefully scouts recognize them and their lives are changed forever.
Collins, March Madness, what is it for you?
I just describe it as a high-stake tournament, right? Where, you know, college students have the opportunity to, like Bolahan said, to showcase themselves as individuals in the game and also as a team. And try to, you know, they know what is at stake. And so that kind of just, it naturally just instigates the high level pressure and stake. And that kind of enhances the competition and obviously have people very, very, very kind of intensely involved and in trying to kind of get up to the top.
And if I may add just one more thing, I think it's madness kind of in my perspective, because each team only has one opportunity. If they lose the game, they're out.
Right.
So there's no redo. There's no like, okay, we'll see them next time. So it takes a lot. It has a lot more weight, the wins and losses.
Absolutely.
And we're in a weird time recording this because we have seen some straight madness this season. I mean, Oakland, I don't know. A lot of people have never even heard of that school. The University of Kentucky, that was in men's basketball. Women's basketball, I will say, the madness is different. And we're going to discuss that with my next question. The madness is different. I think they're trending more what people expected. But the men's basketball has been, I mean, upset after upset after upset. So it's been really interesting to pay attention to. So, which brings me to my next question. Collins, I'll start with you first. And just asking both of you, actually, did you see the altercation? And I guess this was in March, but it wasn't the national championship tournament. It was the SEC women's basketball championship game against South Carolina and LSU. Did you guys see that altercation?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it live, you know, but I you know, heard about it, and I had to look it up and kind of see the contention that was sort of playing out there. Again, you know, you could easily relate that to kind of like the high stakes pressure and, you know, actions that probably are kind of out of the roof, you know, probably regrettable actions that took place. I did see that. And obviously, it's not like it's not been seen before. It truly is part of the game, especially like we said, in high stake games like these where, you know, it's a knockout, right? You don't put your entirety on it. you might find yourself at the end of one game being out of the entire competition, you know. So that can really hurt
Yeah.
some. Yeah, but I do.
Do you think mental health played a role? And you know what? Let me just give a little bit of background. I don't know, Ufoma, if you saw it, or you, Bolahan, if you saw it, but LSU and South Carolina were, it was a very heated game. And one of the players from South Carolina kind of brushed one of the LSU players, and then that player shoved a player, and then from South Carolina, and then another player from South Carolina threw her to the ground. Like, it was pretty bad. And that the girl who went to the ground had a brother who hopped over the scoring table to try to join the fight. So it was a lot. It was really bad. And one player actually was suspended from the first round of the NCAA championship. So it was pretty heated. Do we think that mental health, though, played a part in that? I know, you know, Collins, you said that the stakes were high, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But is there a way, do you think that players can find a way to avoid situations like that if they pay attention more to their mental health? And that might be for our mental health professional, Euphoria.
That's well, one, I haven't seen the incident that you're describing, but I would imagine, you know, when you put into some of the pieces that impacts our mental health, like the different influences, whether it's family, media, the pressure, you know, fans, that all correlates to the shift that occurs. So, but I'm not 100% sure how that would be in this whole situation that you're describing now.
But I did see the incident. So, and if you kind of look closely, if you ever go and kind of look it up, you would find that where the actual rift started from, actually the folks that ended up taking a bit more of an inappropriate action, were in the initial engagement of the rift, right? So, you know, ball was stolen from the opponent, and you know, trying to make a run, and then they dragged her back, and that kind of like that's what happened within those two players. But the player who actually went ahead and sort of, you know, made an impact to an opposing player wasn't part of the rift at all in the initial state. So why am I pointing this out? I do think, you know, because then I do think that yes, there's a possibility of that pressure kind of impacting a mental state, and sometimes I actually listen to the coaches as well, and you could probably also kind of blame it on inexperience, you know. But all of these things are just words that we can use to kind of, you know, wrap around the challenges from a mental state of a person, and the focus, and knowing kind of where they're at and the game, and being able to compose and handle themselves in situations like this, right? So, yeah, a lot can play into that, including mental health.
If I may add, I saw the incident. I watched a couple of interviews on it, and it kind of is reminiscent of what happened with Draymond Green. And I don't know if you guys saw it a couple of months back.
Oh, yes.
But it's kind of just like in sports, team sports, where, you know, it's us against them, where it's I got my teammates back. A lot of times people are responding with emotion, you know. So the player who pushed the other player down was coming to the defense of her teammate in her head. And, you know, same thing for the brother. Like you see your sister getting pushed down. The first thing you're gonna be like, who's pushing my sister to the ground? I'm not just gonna sit in the stands and play bystander and watch all of this happen. But I think what kind of stood out to me was at the end of it all, when the coaches got interviewed, the coach for the South Carolina Gamecocks was kind of apologetic of the behavior and really took ownership of what her players did and kind of just apologized for the fans having to see something like that, and it's not a representation of their university. And the coach for LSU kind of took the stance of like, well, the player who pushed somebody down should have picked on somebody her own size, and she didn't really like that. Which I get, it's the wrong message to send in that moment, but
Yes, it
I.
is. And I have so many questions about that, Bola Han, because, we don't always love to bring the race card up, but I wonder if the positions of those coaches, what they're able to say, is it different because of the color of their skin? I wonder that.
I
I don't know if
definitely think it
anybody,
is. I mean, I would have to agree, because if the roles were reversed and it was a black coach who said what that white coach said, that she would have gotten destroyed in the media,
I think so too.
But at the same time, it's like you want a coach that's passionate like that, that's not just going to give the politically correct response in the media, and that's going to stand up for her team, even when she feels like they're doing wrong. She may berate them behind closed doors, but she's going to double down in front of the media and say, look, they were defending themselves. Like, why would you push somebody down that small? Why don't you pick on somebody your own size? Being that herself, that coach is very short too. So.
Well, thank you for that. That whole situation, it was so layered. All I kept thinking was mental health. This is a great conversation to have.
I mean, it is because, like, in those moments, there's so much passion, there's so much thoughts going. You don't, a lot of people don't have the time to process and be like, okay, let me make the right decision. Let me not interact in this situation. The first, is fight or flight. In the former, you could talk about this. A lot of people want to fight in that situation, and they don't know how to just say, well, let me take a step back and let me not engage.
That is our human nature is to fight or flight, but we have to train ourselves to grab that pause, before we respond. It takes a few seconds to just pause. That seconds will shape out that outcome. How that's going to look like. So that's something we, in this field, try to train our clients and help them once they gain that awareness, knowing, I got to grab that pause. I have to return back to doing okay. I'm not going to give you what you're wanting to get out of me, right? We get that control back. It's not easier said than done, but it's something we have to be intentional about.
And the crazy part about it all is, even as Angela Reese didn't get involved in that situation and she walked away, there was a lot of people saying that she should have. She didn't come to the friend of her teammates, and like, so it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. She took the high. I think they said she sprained her ankle, and that's why she didn't want to even get involved. But her not doing that is seen by others as, okay, you don't have the back of your teammates when something's going down. You're hiding.
But I'm concerned
Exactly.
about the expectation that they had for her to get involved. Why is that an expectation?
Exactly.
Well,
I don't
that's
think.
another piece of the puzzle, isn't it? That itself could also be some kind of a pressure on her. She's doing the right thing. I mean, if we have to think about it, just, talking about it here, right? That's the right thing to do. There were so many people on that court that didn't take that's the same action that I think her late the girl's the player's name was Cardoso or so.
Cardozo,
That they didn't take that same. They were pretty much right there in front of the action, initial action, and didn't take such a drastic action, right? So, and now we can hear either or you should have, but that's kind of that's why we're here. You kind of have to do the right thing, and what's right to you at that moment might just be don't put more flame on the fire, Now
Good,
there's
good conversation.
right. There's some heavy hitters in the brackets for the national championship right now. How do you guys think people are, like, how invested do you think people are right now?
So I don't get too invested. The way I look at it is, if the teams that I want to win, good for it. I used to participate in a bracket where, yeah, you won some money, but majority went to a nonprofit or to a charity of your choice. So it's just kind of for fun. Like, it sucks when you lose, but I can't imagine like what the players are going through, or the teams that have invested so much to get there. Because a lot of times you see them crying after they lost, because it just means that much to them. But as a fan, I would say, like, you got your own life to worry about. You got your own issues. Like, this is just entertainment. So I always try not to get too invested. I try not to, if I am gonna bet, not bet with my emotions. And I mean, if you guys look at the brackets, most of the people who went, maybe a couple upsets, but most of the teams who are advancing are the higher ranked schools that have more resources, that have been there before. You know, the UNCs, the Dukes. You know, unfortunately, Kentucky lost, but usually it's the same teams every year. Villanova, you know, to list a few.
But that's sorry, no, not Taylor and Mullahan. That's kind of like the spirit of the game, right? You know, where you play in a team, I mean, in your college, fortunately, you're not the high hitters or you're not the one making it every time or you're not the obvious teams, but there is always a belief and a dream, right? You know that you know we can do it, and there are instances in sports that we've seen that happen, right? And it's everybody's over the moon being a fan of such a team that comes from like an underdog story, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's I mean, in terms of just being invested, like you already rightly said, I know it's not something we can quantify because obviously, if you're a fan and just watching a game from behind or kind of outside of playing. Yeah, there is some level of you trying to control how much you're invested. Well, you can't control you, but you know, we know a lot of people are probably too much. And that's also kind of like a challenge in itself, right? That can also kind of, you know, bring more challenge into mental health as well. So
Yeah. And we were kind of speaking about that a little bit now about the Cinderella stories, you know, the small school in a small town that comes from out of nowhere. Like we talked about Oakland, out of nowhere beat University of Kentucky. What do you think the mental health impact is for a student body who beat a huge team?
That's a
Oh,
go ahead.
go ahead,
All
Collins. Go ahead, Collins.
right, that's I mean, if that's kind of like the, what we're looking, that's an exciting time. Right, that's a boost. That's exactly what I was actually initially explaining, that when that happens, you know, and even if you dreamt of it for so long and it eventually came into reality, you know, that's the dream. That's what you're going to sport for, right? Of course, it's going to boost them up. It's going to give them beliefs. There's a lot of adrenaline and excitement, and you know. It gives them the ability to also believe in the next coming tournament, right? And then it also gives other underdogs some kind of a hope, right?
That's
That
true.
if we do some certain things right, you know, we should be able to do this as well. What are we not doing right? And the pressure continuously builds, and you know, everybody's trying to get to that top. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
And
good.
if I may add, you know, as far as like the mental impact on this a small school winning, like Colin said, it feels good. It's good for that program. The coach get recognition the further they move up. But then it's also deflating when they finally do lose. You know, it comes to memory like the Davidson when Steph Curry was still in college and they made it all the way to the Elite Eight. Like it felt good. But then when they got smacked by a really big school, it's like, oh man, I was really rooting for that.
Yeah.
But you don't really take into the gravity of what that loss does for that team. Another team that kind of comes to mind is St. Peter's.
Last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for them. I was watching them give, like, I hope they do it. I hope they do it. But then they that
Yeah.
matchup and they lost at the end. And even with Oakland that you just brought up now, like they beat Kentucky, but then North Carolina State did their homework. They did their research. They scouted
Yes, they
players.
did.
And you saw what when the scouting, when the game prep is done, they end up losing the very next round. So it's good. Like now people are like, where is Oakland? Like you want to know, let me follow these players.
Yeah.
Where is Jack Golkey going to be? Is he going to get drafted? So they get that recognition. It stays with them. But I think overall, especially like if you're a senior and this is your last opportunity, it weighs heavy on you.
Because you know, the I think his name was Gawky. He was kind of like the lead scorer against University of Kentucky with Oakland. And I heard his interview, and he said that, you know, he knows he's not going to get drafted to the NBA, but it felt good to know that he can compete with some of these people that will probably go to the NBA, you know. And it being his senior year, that moment did feel good. I didn't get a chance to see his interview after losing to North Carolina State, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Those seniors, it hits differently, definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what's the mental health impact of a highly rated team on the losing end of the whole Cinderella story?
Again, context, history, there is huge impacts, you know, in my thought process or in my opinion, because expectations are also a a challenge when not met, right? So that immediately kind of has a an adverse or a negative impact on especially the players, because maybe they've won before, maybe they're used to winning, maybe they had just a so good team trying to get to that very end of the brackets, and you know, fortunately met a team that's also kind of ready and steady to give it a go, and then for some reason they lost, or even lost to a lower underdog team. Again, like we were saying earlier, there is definitely a huge impact that may really affect the players for sometimes a very long time. You know, even if they keep playing the game, even if they try to kind of go past that, but there is always the memory, and there's always, unless one thing that I would say away in, you know, when you look at sports and how losing a tournament or even a game, what really helps is winning the next one, right? But in a case like this where it's a blown out knockout tournament, right? Especially when you really, now someone who leaves in the maybe first early stages of the knockout, they might feel bad, but you haven't put intense effort getting to like pretty much the, let's say like just to the finals or however it's kind of represented, and then losing that game. That takes a lot, you know, that takes, that's a huge impact, and it's harder to come back from that. So sometimes we can't see it from what we watch at fan as fans, but those kind of impacts, you're seeing people continuously playing a game and training, but they might have, just from that experience, they might have a lot to deal with that they're unable to kind of go past, you know, again, which just kind of aligns with impacting their mental health and even their just sort of like their performance. It's very, very related and all kind of intertwined, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where resilience come in, you know, where teams can that have strong bond, you actually have to have that to begin with. They can use that to learn from it and support each other and just be able to bounce back. Like you said, another win will be able to help, but true resilience really brings about that change.
So let me ask you, Yufoma, how can colleges and universities better support the mental well-being of their student athletes, especially during high-pressure times?
Maybe creating a space where they can go process through if they don't already have any type of counseling program in place, just some type of support group that they can just share their feelings with what's going on for them. The pressure that they experience, whether as a student athlete, in any dynamic, but I think creating a space to process their feelings is essential if it's not already in place.
I think universities and colleges are doing better at it. I will say, like Bolahan said, some of those bigger schools are more well funded, so they probably have access to mental health by way of counseling or, you know, different things like that. So how what are some strategies that fans can use to cope with the emotional ups and downs that come with March Madness. I saw so many tears yesterday. I watched it was Virginia Tech and Baylor, and they were playing at Virginia Tech's home. I saw so many tears. How can fans, not just the players, but how can fans avoid, or not avoid, but how can they cope with the emotional ups and downs? You know, with a player, like you said, Collins, the next win helps, but sometimes with fans, they don't have the luxury of necessarily playing the next game. How can they cope?
Manage expectations really will come in my head. I'm a fan of a lot of sports, but I love soccer, so I know I can relate. I played. I support a team. We know how we can sometimes get very invested, but you have to manage expectations. It'd be crazy, right, to kind of look at it holistically that, just from being a fan of a sport or a team in a sport, you find yourself really, really sort of affected by the outcomes of, that of the game, right? Whether by losing because your team, which you support, sort of disappointed you. Those expectations have to be better managed, right? Because that again, I would not being a person playing in the game, but being a fan, you can also kind of be hugely affected mentally, just like the players in the game. And that can be very shocking because, you're way more even invested than the actual, players who are actually doing so much more, right? They go through training, they get conditioned, they're disciplined about stuff, they're compromising for a lot of stuff. And that's what kind of also adds to the disappointment and the mental instability, right? Because of how much they're putting in. But from a fan's perspective, I get it. But there has to be a point where you need to tell yourself, to watch how overinvested or overly invested you are, in kind of what the outcomes, how the outcomes kind of, determines your ups and downs, your feelings, your emotions, and actually robbing outside of the game and kind of floating into other aspects of your life, right? That's the thing that we have to be careful about.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so let me ask Bolahan, what strategies do you personally use to cope with the emotional ups and downs? Now, I know you say you're not as invested in March Madness, but I do remember when we when we met a few months ago that you have a beloved team. So how do you cope with the emotional ups and downs, you personally?
I ain't gonna lie, I get mad as hell when Golden State loses, man. It tears me up because I'm like, man, they got so much. If they could just do this, that, and the other. But I just have to realize, like, they making their own money right now. Every game they
Yeah.
up, they focused on their money. So I gotta focus on what's important. How can I better myself? This is just entertainment. Sometimes you even find me like, I'll go shoot some hoops. And I'm calling plays for myself, just to
Yeah.
theme, like, but as far as like the students watching March Madness, just reflecting on the time that I spent on Mizzou's campus, when we won, it
Okay.
was great. The town celebrated, but when we lost, it was great too. The town still went out and celebrated or drowned
Yeah.
their sorrows, so, and they moved on after that, and it was like, oh, we'll get them next time mentality. So I think you just have to be have a short memory span and realize that it's not the end of the world if your team loses. Like, yeah, it hurts, it sucks, you want your team to advance, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good way to look at it. Life goes on.
Yeah.
What
Exactly.
about gambling though? We know that is a big deal. And I'll say I didn't gamble, but I did join in on the brackets. Like CBS has like this whole you can just put it in there to see what happens. I've really failed miserably, but I know a lot of people do it for money. They gamble. So Ifeoma, how can what are some strategies to make sure that people are mindful of the potential mental health risk associated with, gambling?
That's a good question. So when I think of gambling, it's just like with any other addiction, you have to one, be honest with yourself, if you find that you're struggling with that. But in the spectrum of where you're referring to the brackets and gambling, I would say set some limits like budgeting, this is what I can afford, this, and even time limit of how long you're gonna be doing that. So you're not get sucked into, the game, because you've already set some healthy boundaries around this is what works for me, and how that's gonna look like, and focus more on the game when you're maintaining perspective, like, enjoy the competition, the thrill of the game, but not just the potential winning of it, because at the end of the day, the passion is for the fun of the game. And another thing I will also add would be recognize warning signs, like don't chase your losses, like, okay, well, I put this amount into it, so I gotta try to find a way to win back, because that's when you find yourself getting caught in that cycle, and that's gonna be a red flag.
And for those who actually have an addiction to gambling, are there do you how could we encourage them during this time? Like, and maybe this is too difficult of a question because we're not necessarily treating anyone, but someone with a gambling addiction, would they watch March Madness, or is that something that they should stay away from? Is it the same as like an alcoholic going to a bar?
Again, that goes back to being honest with yourself, knowing, what works for you. You can't measure your outcome based on somebody else's, size, like what works best for you. But with alcohol, for example, you want to find other programs, other ways to still, chase the fun and the excitement, but in a space where you can attain to your goals, right? So there are a lot of helplines and self-help group, even for gambling. So Gamblers Anonymous is something you can look into. And maybe still have a community where you all are still enjoying the game, but in a healthy environment that doesn't, perpetrate what it is that you're trying to fight for.
And with that being said, what kind of apps or resources could we offer to any student athletes who might be listening? Are there any resources that they can use to help their mental health?
I can add a little bit here. Now this is like a fictional show. I don't know if you guys have heard of Ted Lasso, the show that's on Apple. So there was a time where some of the athletes were struggling with performing and performance anxiety, and they brought on a sports psychologist to work with the team, and it really helped them perform better. So a lot of students, like in March Madness or at these different universities. Most schools require you to have health insurance that you get through the school, and they have their own clinics and hospitals on campus. So as anybody, not just athletes, deal with performance anxiety or maybe just performing when the lights are brightest, all these cameras are on, these people screaming and criticizing your every play. It's helpful, to kind of just take yourself out of that situation. And talk to a professional so that you can perform at your best and you don't let all of that stuff get to you. That would be my advice.
That's right. Any advice from you, Collins?
In terms of, being an athlete, I think we touched on it earlier about the supports that they have around them, but I think some of the, I guess, the best athletes, not in this in what they do, but to manage, their mental state and being in the game and performance and all of that, are folks that are very, very comfortable, speaking their reality, right? Engaging in, whether it's to your coach or to a, a psychologist from your sports, from your school, or kind of, your parents or, siblings or family, someone who really knows how to kind of just let it out on the table, right? And let people be able to maybe help them navigate the thoughts and support them, because whatever is in a closed mind never gets, resolved, right? So, but unfortunately, everyone is not like that. And so for some people, the time of realization is really what it is. It's as valuable as, the resolution to things. So even in relation to the gamblers, I mean, when you guys mentioned that, in my head, I'm thinking, when that's a different ball game, really, because being a fan and then being someone who gambles around the game, I don't condone gambling at all. So, but being someone who gambles around the game, that's way beyond being a fan or watching the match madness. There's a different kind of drive that you have, that you need to come to a time of realization with and seek help. So talking about sites, I mean, we're exposed to numerous, tools and sites and all these different, I probably call them healing, sites that if you realize kind of what's happening to you from a gambling standpoint and you're seeking help, it's in abundance, really. Right. But I think the challenging part is coming to realization, right? And then seeking help, but
Well, this has been great. We can't end this without finding out who got who. Like, who is your pick? Bola, we're going to you first. Who's your pick?
Man, I'm gonna have to ride with NC State, man. That's what I'm rooting for. They beat Oakland, so I'm going with them next. Obviously the
Okay.
hit
Okay.
is and that's in the men's. In the women's, man, I'm hoping for a repeat, man. South Carolina versus LSU.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see, man.
We'll see. We'll see. Hold them to it, y'all. Okay, Collins.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't intensely follow the
Okay.
college basketball, but I'm looking at the brackets, and I mean, I just go by commonalities. I'm like, oh, Houston. I have no idea. I mean, who I should be rooting for. So I don't even think I have a preference, to be honest.
You don't have a preference.
No.
You FOMO? I know you're. I know you are. We're bringing you on this sports journey, and you're learning as we do this podcast. Do you
That's
have
right.
any idea? Any?
I like to go based on colors, so I guess
That's red.
wherever is
So, what's your
red.
favorite color? What's
Red.
your favorite color?
My favorite color is red,
Okay,
so
you can jump on Bolahan's North Carolina State bus.
okay. See,
Okay.
that's how we do it.
And then red for, yeah, you could do South Carolina with Bolahan as well. There you go. Gamecocks. They're
Question,
not quite red, but they're
how
close.
much I give if they win? How much I give if they win?
Bragging rights, you're getting it.
Brag, all of them. All of them. Okay, so I'm gonna give mine. Listen, I'm a Texas girl through and through.
Okay.
I know we in Georgia, but I'm going for University of Houston for the men's side.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think University of Texas women's, I think they're still in it. I hope they're still in it. Oh my God. I really want them to win. So we'll see. We will be back to discuss who won, right?
Sometimes
Awesome.
I can't
Oh
wait.
yeah. Awesome. Dum dum dum. We shall see. Okay, so before we close, we always like to give five fast facts. So how can we enjoy March Madness?
Embrace the madness.
Relax. Okay.
Grab a brew. Get some good food. Scream at your TV, but not too loud.
Focus on the fun.
Right, focus on the
Nice.
phone. I like that one.
Okay, so we got, I like to quantify. We have, you fumble.
My first one was embrace the madness.
Embrace the madness. I love it. Colin said relax. Bolahan said grab a brew, something to drink and eat and yell at the TV.
Right.
Ifoma said focus on the fun. And I'm gonna come and say it'll all be okay on the next day.
Exactly.
Like that.
But I'll
Go.
be okay the next
All
day. Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. This was fun. This was a really good conversation. As always, you guys follow us on Instagram, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere. Bolohan, give us he also runs a podcast called Underdog. Is that correct?
On the dog pod,
How
follow
can
us.
people follow you?
SUNDRDOGPOD on Instagram and on YouTube. And we're also on all streaming platforms.
Nice. Collins, how can they follow you?
For me, I don't have a podcast or anything yet, but I'm working on something and very, very closely related. That's why I find it very natural to jump on this and be able to kind of share my thoughts. But yeah, as soon as we start to get really at what I'm trying to do, I think you guys will hear it.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you guys. We
Oh, thank you
appreciate you.
for having us.
Thanks for
Thank
having us.
you.
Yeah.
And always remember, if ever in doubt, follow your favorite color.
I heard that.
Okay. I'll take that. All right.
To reach us with questions or comments, email us at healwithus@atlantatreatmentcenter.org.